This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios, presented by Delish Hamburgers. Speak Studios is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios and at their website, speakpodcasting.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
Hey, this is Erin.
And Melissa.
And we're with Trending Spokane, a weekly podcast all about the latest in the Lilac City.
Finding out what is happening right now in Spokane can be overwhelming, but not if you're an insider.
Join us as we shine light onto the latest happenings and chat about the future of our city.
Each episode will introduce you to people you want to know, places you need to visit, and local knowledge you can't live without.
We'll help you to get out and get involved.
Episodes are dropping soon, so make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts now.
We could not be more pumped for the high-speed rail that's coming to our area. Maybe it's proposed, and that will take you to Portland in 90 minutes. Alex, would you take that?
100%. You know, like one of my things is that coming from Europe, you can go anywhere by subway, train, and so knowing that we can go to, we'll go to Seattle, Portland, is that right?
Vancouver.
100%. Wow. Like I'm buying my ticket tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that I saw about this that was really cool is that they already have a rail line between Auburn and Spokane. So this wouldn't even necessarily be new. So we could get on it tomorrow if they, you know, do it.
Yeah, they can just make that happen
real
quick, right?
Yeah, just tomorrow, I think. Yeah, I think that's how rail works.
I would love to be able to go to Seattle and back really easily and be able to get some, like, high-quality fresh fish and then bring it back the same day, go to the market. Oh, my gosh. That opens up so many possibilities with things that you can do in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the second thing we want to talk about is one of my favorites. It's called the Post Hotel, and it's over in Leavenworth. And it is just exquisite. If you want to talk more about it, Erin, because you've been...
Yeah, not only have I been, but I'm actually going next week. So I can't believe how relaxing and luxurious every little detail that they have put into this hotel. Melissa, you have to go. And we should go together. Mm-hmm. We should just go. Mm-hmm. The whole spa area, I think there are like 14 different saunas, each a different temperature with a different humidity and with a different scent. And then the pool area is a saltwater pool, and it's like indoor, outdoor. So you like swim through to the outside. And in the wintertime, I think it would be even more magical. We went in the fall, but I am going next week, so springtime should be pretty beautiful in Leavenworth. And my mother is actually going with me.
Aww.
So, yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going with you.
Oh, yeah. We'll just put you in our suitcase, Alex.
Right. Next time.
I'm going to.
It's all, like, I can't even describe it. I wish I could describe it even more accurately, but it is like an adult's paradise. If heaven is anything like that, that's what I hope that we'll be able to go
sign
and access.
Me up.
Yeah. Right?
It's like a spa, but like times a million, because it's just like all open and very, yeah. The pictures, the photos just make me incredibly relaxed. But I think the thing that you have to know about Post Hotel is book in advance, because I definitely have been trying to book it and everything I want is taken. And I'm not even trying to book weekends at this point. So book in advance.
Oh, yeah. Weekends are slammed and you're required to stay 2 days on a weekend. But Leavenworth this time of year is so beautiful. Any time of year. I don't think there's a bad time of year to go to Leavenworth. Yeah. Do you? Have you been?
I've been once before I moved to Spokane. Yeah, it was pretty exotic. Like, I was like, whoa, what's happening here? But no, it was really cute. And, but like, yeah, trying to post will be a new experience. I would like that.
Yeah. The food. They do breakfast and lunch all included. I'm telling you, you've got to check out their website. And speaking of food, we just went to one of the most trending places in the entire city of Spokane, Gander and Ryegrass, this last week. What did you think about it, Alex?
I was just very, very happy. Like, the pairing was exquisite. It was really surprising. I love the idea of, like, letting a chef guide you through a meal and letting them just be the expert in the room and present their craft. And that was a great experience. Like, they did amazing. Every single dish was surprising in terms of textures, flavors. And again, yeah, the pairing and the company was great, too. So.
Company was pretty outstanding, I have to agree. Rob is my husband, very charming, very silly, and we had some great conversation. Have you been yet, Melissa?
I still have not, but I have seen pictures of their sandwiches, which I'm very excited about.
I went for lunch recently, and it was, lunch, sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, and it was actually super surprising. like probably the best sandwich I've ever had.
Oh, wow. That's high praise.
All right. So after this, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Just walk over there. I will go any day of the week, anytime. I am absolutely in love with the program that they have there for both lunch and dinner. Lunch is much more approachable. For dinner, we did the marathon dinner, which had, oh, my gosh, it said 12 courses, but it's probably.
It was about that.
About that, yeah. And each one is small so that when you leave, you feel just perfectly satiated. Mm-hmm. You haven't eaten too much. And they also have an optional drink pairing that you can do as well. Outstanding experience, and Chef Pete is killing it.
And just one more thing, maybe, like, I'm so appreciative of the fact that Spokane now has real bartenders, like real artists that love their craft and they're making delicious drinks. And definitely that place, the drinks were amazing. Like, everything was really perfect.
And the bar you can access in the evening, too, and just go and experience their cocktail program, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have, like, floor to ceiling, all different types of spirits. And, yeah, their bartenders are top-notch mm-hmm. in the city for sure. And speaking of drinks.
Yeah, look at us just moving right on to the next one, drinks.
It's almost like it was planned.
Almost. Crazy. We're talking about Hidden Mother Brewery, which has only been around for a couple of years, but has already won, I think I was reading, 8 to 9 awards in the gold and silver categories, too.
And if you're really into craft brews, these guys have such an incredible depth of knowledge. I've learned so much just listening to them talk about their processes. They had this... Is it Saison? Is that how you say that? I don't even know. Is that right?
I think that's how I say it.
Okay, well, we're going to cut that part. They have this particular beer that they, like, pour through these large tree trunks to get the flavor of pine in it.
Whoa.
It's fascinating. All of the processes that they have, I've just been so impressed by how they're taking brewing to the next level. We have a lot of craft breweries in our city. Do you have any favorites? Are you a beer guy?
You know what? I'm a super lightweight when it comes to alcohol, so I have to choose my battles. So I go for wine and cocktails, and every once in a while I'll go for a beer, but I'm not the best. I love cider, though.
Oh, yeah. They have a cider. I think they have a pear cider. Mm-hmm. I was looking at their latest menu.
But yeah. They are, like, really amazing places in Spokane more and more, and I'm amazed with all the breweries we have here.
Yeah. We are very fortunate to live in such a culinarily dense area. Mm-hmm. And there's fun things to do, too. And we happen to be a fan of the Carousel, Loof Carousel, which is now reopened at Riverfront Park.
So excited. We just went there a couple weeks ago, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. I mean, you have fun as a kid, but it's even almost more fun as an adult.
Oh, yeah. I miss that they don't have the ring toss at the moment, which is a little sad. Have you done that? Please tell me you have.
The carousel?
Yes.
Here. Not yet.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you're going to have to go right after this then because they open at 11.
So, sandwich.
Sandwich. Carousel. Maybe carousel first and then eat.
Yeah. I don't think they'll let you eat the sandwich while you're on the carousel, although that would be a perfect marriage of two really fun things.
Mm-hmm. And we can do the ring toss together.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the ring toss. Pretend. Yeah, but don't toss your sandwich. You can always throw your garbage away at the garbage goat, too, which is right next to it. Yeah. They've been closed for so long, the carousel, and it's every time you walk by it and it's static, it's very sad because you don't see kids laughing and families playing. But yeah, it's starting to make the park come alive. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, kids in our community are so important to support and love. And with Wishing Star, they support terminally ill and children who are experiencing medical complications. And their families can often be really overwhelmed. So we want to encourage everyone to follow Wishing Star Foundation on Instagram and Facebook and get a chance to see all of the amazing things that they're doing for families who are in turmoil from these challenging diseases here in our community, right here in Spokane, Tri-Cities, Coeur d'Alene, all over the Inland Northwest. And there have been few years quite like 2020 to push every person and business to their absolute breaking point. But we've had to pivot professionally and personally in order to overcome those challenges. Have you heard the word pivot enough lately, Melissa?
Oh, my gosh. I'm very kind of over that word now.
It's kind of becoming the P word.
Yeah.
We probably have. So let's introduce our guest that you're going to definitely want to get to know if you don't already.
There have been so many strategies that business have used to be able to stay competitive and even grow during the quarantine and beyond right here in Spokane. We happen to know a business expert who has been part of so many success stories for small businesses throughout our region, and he's here to share some secrets to help you with your game in 2021.
In this episode, Oh my goodness. I just realized. That's so funny. I want to make sure I nail your name. Make sure I can pronounce it. Alex Baroque?
Yeah, you're very close. Like, okay. Don't try the first name, like the full version of the first name. It's really difficult.
Okay.
For like an American speaking person.
Right.
But Alex is great.
Okay, so Alex, and then last name, tell me, make sure I get it right.
Baruch.
Baruch.
Yeah, Baruch, which means blessed in Hebrew. Oh.
Want to make sure I get it totally right. Baruch. Let's see. In this episode, we're chatting with Alex Baruch, who is a principal consultant at Aim and Build Consulting and Development, or ABCD, as he calls it, which is very handy. You know, it's simple. He lays everything out very simply so that you can understand how to up your business game. He also works with Terrain to help coach their artists to create a roadmap for their business to deliver their vision, among several other projects that he's working on in Spokane, which we are thrilled to learn more about.
Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, Alex. We're so excited to have you here. We are dying to know more about ABCD and how you evolved your career to become a business consultant. Can you share with us what led you to this point in your professional life and what ABCD seeks to do for businesses?
Sure. So I'll try to go really quick through that, but there's three things in my background. The first one is business management. So I've done that a lot throughout my career. Small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and seen best practices, worst practices, read a lot of books. And thinking in systems helped me a lot. Like when we're solving a problem, we're not just solving a problem, we're inventing a new system that's applicable for other companies. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that my training is in communications and project management. So I have a strong focus on deliverables, like when we're not talking business, like we went for dinner, we can talk about everything and anything for hours aimlessly. But when we talk business, like it's, okay, what does success look like? By what date? How do we get there? Really defining a roadmap. So deliverables are super important. And the last part, that's kind of like the odd piece in that, is that I used to be a trained psychoanalyst in France. And so I didn't see myself do that as a profession. And also moving to the US, I would have had to back to school like in for 8 years or something like that, so no way. But I kind of became a shrink for businesses, so looking at teams, leaders, organizations, my training helped me get to a point where you don't only see things for what they are at a certain time, you see them for what they could become. And the question is, how do you close that gap? How do you get them there? How do you provide the tools for them to understand, like, by doing this and by measuring that, we will get to that point and be in control of what's happening to our business. So, wow. In a nutshell.
That is such a fascinating evolution. And I empathize with that greatly because when I started my degree, I was going into nursing, and then I shifted to teaching when I had kids because I thought, oh my gosh, I can't finish my last year of nursing school. But that knowledge has served me so well throughout the rest of my career. And now transitioning into, you know, social media and digital marketing, it has even more enhanced my ability to deliver interesting content to people in ways that they can feel are digestible and they can learn something. So for you, in working with businesses, especially during the pandemic, you kind of had a little bit of a premonition or a prediction. At the beginning of the pandemic, you were very educated because looking at the model that was happening in Europe and the development of the disease, that businesses were going to be thinking longer than just 3 weeks of a shutdown, but really throughout the year and then beyond. So what can businesses do with you looking forward and the knowledge base that you have to pandemic-proof their business in 2021?
The first thing, and it might be a little bit of a hot topic in the U.S., it's let's think about business without ideology. That's the first point. Like, we have a lot of beliefs, like we want to support business, and I moved to the U.S. for a reason, so I'm very supportive of the business mindset. But we had a lot of chances to observe what was happening in China, and then what was happening in Europe, first in Italy, then Spain, then France, and it was coming to the U.S., and we were still in denial. And so, honestly, there's nothing magic. it's just looking at reality. And there's a great book, and I'm sorry, I forgot the reference. I can give it to you later, that defines leadership as a very simple sentence. Look at the window when you're on a train, like that person is on a train and he's looking at a window and thinks that everybody just sees landscape. And that person, I think that's a lady, she sees developments and everything that could grow there. And the question she asks herself is like, what do I see that other people don't? Mm-hmm. And as leaders, I think that's a question that you need to ask yourself all the time. That's not just something you need to do. That's your absolute responsibility. Like, what do you see that other people don't, without judgment, without assumptions, without ideology, just to be prepared for whatever is coming your way? And being in business is dealing with unpredictable stuff. It's dealing with curveballs all the time. And I think one of the things that lacked is for a lot of business owners or leaders to understand that's their role. It's not just doing the same old thing because it's been working. It's like, what is coming that I haven't anticipated and how am I prepared for that?
Yeah, I know for restaurants, it was particularly challenging to all of a sudden go full takeout. And those who had a digital presence did far better than those who didn't have that kind of support.
And there are some, I don't know, like we can talk about them, but like versus the Goodwin Group did amazing. The Grain Shed did amazing. Very, very different type of restaurants. But they all had an approach of like, no, like we're doing this and we're approaching this without ideology. We have plenty of plans in place for whatever is coming our way. And all these people could be consultants. Like they are, in a way, very amazing.
Yeah, they were very agile and thought on their feet. And if something didn't work, then they shut it down, tried something different, and were very quick to adjust. I think making a very a simple decision, but quickly and effectively, and then trying it out was a big secret to their success.
Yeah, well, and on that vein, would you say that there's any business here in Spokane, it doesn't have to be restaurant, but it can be, that did a really good job, or maybe someone that you worked with that really pivoted, I know we don't want to say that word, but that pivoted it really quickly and recognized what was going on?
Yeah, there's several businesses that I can think of. Well, we talked about this too, the Goodwin Group. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Grain Shed. That's just also just an amazing place. If you haven't gone to the Grain Shed, the bread is just amazing and everything else too. And their beer.
Oh, to die for, yeah.
There's a chiropractic office that was one of our clients, and they pivoted right away. So when I posted this thing on Facebook, we had a discussion. At that time, they were a client, and we were like, let's forget about all our plans. Something's coming. Talk to your bank. There was no PPP. There was nothing. There was no relief plan. What are we going to do with the employees? If we need to lay off some people, who goes first? Have these discussions. Mm-hmm. Does your insurance cover that? How do we adjust your services? How do we communicate about it? One of the craziest thing throughout this crisis is that a lot of businesses stopped communicating. Mm-hmm. And like, well, what's happening? You cannot do that. You cannot stop talking. But to talk, you also have to know what you're going to say. So, like, refine your strategy, then communicate, never stop. So these are a few examples. I think Dutch Brothers did really good, too. They were very, very clear on being compliant. And, again, they're not preaching. They're not doing ideology. They're just saying, like, hey, these are all the measures that the health services tell us we need to apply for your protection. What we think about that doesn't really matter. It's just like, at this point, this is the best we know to mitigate that risk. So let's just do it. And they did it. So,
yeah, they did a great job. Mm-hmm. And for the future of business, I see the companies that do the best job that you're talking about really think about its workers first. Mm-hmm. You talked immediately with those organizations before there were any plans in place about plans for their people, because ultimately business is about relationships between individual people and then the people who support them at those businesses, from the owner all the way down to somebody who's working on, you know, an everyday little side hustle as Oh gosh, I can't even speak. Hold on, rewind. I'm trying so hard. Not enough caffeine. I know you can do it.
Kick in.
And with that in mind, business is ultimately about relationships between people. And it can be so challenging for the organizations to make really smart choices about not only how they go about their staffing in times of crisis, but then beyond that, how do they operate every day to make sure that everyone feels cared for, from the customer all the way to the CEO? So with that in mind, how do you feel like businesses in the future will be putting people first in order to grow their brand?
Yeah, so that's such an interesting question. And we could talk like about 3 days just about that. I'll try to do a little shorter. So there's this concept that is more familiar now to business owners that I think Richard Branson from Virgin talks about it. And then there's a lot of experts and scholars that talk about it. And then there are also local business owners who do it. It's really treat your employees the way you want your clients to be treated. Because at the end of the day, they are your ambassadors. And so that model that you promote is the way they're going to act. Another really great point with that is that when you create that kind of culture, people who don't fit that model will naturally leave your company. You don't have to fire them they will just feel that they're not the right fit. So it creates a really cohesive culture. So I would say, yeah, that's the main approach is really talk with them, try to develop them. We promote a model that's called incubator of talent, which basically means that within a couple years, or maybe 1 year, or maybe 6 months, if an employee is at the same job as leaders, as managers, as supervisors, did we do what we were supposed to do? Our job is not to keep people at the same place. Our job is to help elevate people and to help developing their skills. And I know, like, to talk about that company again, Dutch Brothers, does a great job with that. And it's our responsibility to then fill the position that was left by someone who evolved with someone who has maybe little skills but huge potential. Mm-hmm. And that's our job, to see that and to invest in that. So really investing in people, I think is your best bet. And it's not easy, but that's our job.
And feeling like they are contributing to something meaningful, mm-hmm, is so important for the overall mental health and well-being of your employees. That is such a fascinating take, and I wish that more businesses did that, because you'd see less turnover, higher quality services. Yeah, there's just unlimited potential.
Yeah, I really see this too. As someone who worked in the public sector, I just could see that this model needs to be more in the public sector too, because sometimes I think there's businesses think about, oh, well, this person's really great where they are, let's keep them there forever because they're doing such a great job there, when they're not really listening to the person that they want to move up and that they could do even better as a manager or in a different role. So could you clone yourself and your business and work everywhere?
I think when an important point on that, like, I think you're said it in a great way, and it's the old model was, does the employee fit a checklist? Mm-hmm. We call that the laundry list. The new model is, are we on the same trajectory? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really matter. Like, there's a lot of skills that we can learn or transfer, mm-hmm, but are we looking in the same direction? Like, when I started my career, I mean, should I say my age? Like, I'm 45, and yeah,
that's
I'm
the 45. Prime of your life. Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like 22-ish, but okay, I'm 45. And when I started, I remember, like, when I asked my boss, like, "Hey, why am I doing this?" Because I told you, and there really wasn't a discussion. Mm-hmm. And now, like, we were talking about culture earlier, like with people like Simon Sinek, or I mean, there's so many of them, but he's just a great reference with start with the why. Mm-hmm. they need to know why they're doing that. How we're impacting the world. And that's just the way the world is. And that's just the way the newer generations see their role and their contribution in a company is not just like, hey, I'm doing this task and I'm getting some money for that. It has to be more meaningful. And not understanding that is just not understanding where the world is going and being in denial. So again, as leaders, we can't do that.
And possibly losing some of your top talent too, because they don't feel themselves growing, and so they can go somewhere else now, especially in this remote work now that we're kind of transitioning to.
They will go somewhere else.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. So one of the questions that I had too, so this was kind of along the lines of how everything has changed because of the pandemic. And I think one of the things that I saw, which was a positive part of this, is that people really started reaching out to each other in terms of businesses working with other businesses. They realized they had, you know, maybe they didn't have this skill set, but this one business did. And so they partnered together. Who would you say, or how are some ways that business owners should be connecting with each other, and how can they connect with each other if they don't really know where to start?
Yeah. That's such an important point, I think. You talked about pivoting, if it's okay to go back just to that.
Yeah.
I think pivoting was a great word to just open people's mind. pivoting is not enough. There's going to be, and there has been, a need for understand how to mitigate any situation. You don't need a plan B. And that's what mitigate kind of implies, is that you have... That's what pivoting kind of implies, that you just find one solution that's going to address all of your problems, and that doesn't exist. You're going to have problems that you don't know and you can't predict. So what's your plan B, C, D, E, et cetera, et cetera? The second thing is, I was talking with a friend recently, and we were talking about why businesses are failing, the ones that are. And there might be a lack of technical skills, like going from a job to owning an actual business. It's just completely different skills, or a lack of understanding of the environment, or just resistance to change. But I think the number one problem was the lack of community, like not being able to find the resources that we need to survive. So connecting with other businesses is absolutely critical. And for that reason, we at ABCD, we're starting a project pretty soon, within a month or so, that's called Small Business Community Groups, where they're basically peer groups for small business owners to come with their problems and discuss them with peers who come from different industries and have a different perspective. So discuss them live in a very safe and confidential environment. The other thing is being coached on the fly. So there will be a consultant, either me or another one, that brings like a lot of experience and perspective on how to solve this problem. But really create a sense of community where they can, out of the group, also help each other. So we'll be talking about that pretty soon. And yeah, we're excited about this project. I really think that it will help small business. Small businesses.
Well, small businesses in general would probably be very grateful for your services. And I know that you are very networked within the Spokane business community. What are some local resources right here in the city that business owners can access and become members of?
So I would promote, the first one I would promote is, because I became also a part of it, is an amazing organization that's called SIMBA. Spokane Independent Metro Business Alliance. And it's a great resource for small businesses to be part of a community. But also, there was a project that was called Leave Local that we've led recently. It was about putting Main Street online. So to compete with companies like Amazon, like if you need an acupuncturist, a travel agent, buy new shoes or reserve a restaurant or food to take out. We created a platform online for that. We also provide a lot of coaching and consulting for small businesses through this project. So that's one of the organizations that I would recommend. Check your local Chamber of Commerce. They also have resources, and that's really their job. That's what they're here for. And I want to really salute the Spokane Valley Chamber of Commerce. We've done a really, really good job at pivoting. So we need to find a different word. One organization that people often forget about is SNAP. If you're a business owner, SNAP has that image of like only helping people that are in severe financial challenges. They do that too. But they're also like a great organization if you need financing, and they have great experts there. I taught startup classes at SNAP, And so if you need a loan, they have great rates. They're really available to answer questions, and they're great professionals. So I would think about that organization as well. A resource that's often forgotten is the library. We talked a little bit about Mark Pond, and so he created or designed over the last 10-ish years the business research department that's also called Level Up at the public library. And basically what it is, it's a huge marketing database for business owners, entrepreneurs, students, anybody that has a business project. And fun fact about that is that as the model for libraries transitions from books to books and digital, a lot of libraries went invested in these databases. The number one resource in that realm in the country is New York. The second one is Spokane.
What?
Nobody knows that. Yeah, and no, honestly, that's the work of Mark and the library. Wow. They've done an amazing job, so definitely check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, Level Up.
Wow.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
That is kind of mind-blowing. I am so grateful that we connected. And it's funny that it was, I can't remember if it was Instagram or Facebook, but we ran across each other because of our mutual love for fine dining and cuisine. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that have been started and continue are such a great way for us to get connected in our community as well with the Spokane Guild and Spokane Guild Foodies. And you became a tastemaker with us this year, which is even more fun. Yeah. So whenever we go out to events, we invite our tastemaker friends and get a chance to really more deeply connect, because it can be tough as professionals to find people that you have common interests with. And with that in mind, I've gotten to know that you have a very broad cultural background. You've been all over the world. You've gone all kinds of places. So how has your cultural background influenced your worldview? What are some types of places you've been to, and how that's influenced your philosophy in business and in life?
Wow, that's a broad question, but also amazing. And I love talking about that. I was very lucky that I was exposed to so many things. And one of my best experiences is to live it through someone who has not experienced it yet and just share that and see that in their eyes. It's so much fun. Honestly, my mom was really, really amazing. She loved travel. She loved experiences more than owning stuff. We were very lucky that we traveled a lot. And the cool thing in Europe is that with shorter distances, going from Paris to Italy is like going from Spokane to Seattle. So it's like, oh, okay, well, let's do that.
Italy now?
Like, must be rough.
You know, yeah, that was terrible. My heart belongs to Italy. That was just my upbringing. And everybody was just very, very curious. And one of the things about food is that I think food is really connected to sensitivity, but also intelligence. And when I help my daughter trying new things, for instance, she has to find new words to describe her experience. And I really love that. She's like, well, I don't know, like this texture, I'm not exactly sure how to explain it. Well, let's work on that, you know? It just creates not only a new experience, but a new understanding of the world. The other thing is I know that's also like a hot topic, is what do borders mean? You know, I don't know. I'm a migrant, but I come from a country that people want to migrate to. And when we see migrants, we always see them as people who are going to take something from us. And I heard one guy once said, like, how about we see them as people who bring something, mm-hmm. and try to understand it from that perspective. So just integrating cultures, trying foods, understanding, you know, well, if we're going to try Chinese food, let's not try orange chicken. Let's try like real Chinese food and understand what it's about. Mm-hmm. Like there's also respect in that experience and understanding like it's a real gift. So let us like, have our palate evolve, but also our perspectives by having someone who actually lived through all the stages to make this food available to us, explain us what it means for them, you know? So does it answer your question?
It totally does. There's such beauty in connecting with other people. And I understand that, you know, knee-jerk reaction that people sometimes have to the, even the word migrant. But we've been very fortunate to have those cultural experiences enrich our lives. And I know that Melissa has had some really cool experiences in our area and in Arizona as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love looking at it from the addition perspective. And that's how I've always tried to look at it, too. It's not that they're taking away. It's that they're bringing in something. And one thing I love is when they bring in different food.
Yes.
I'm like, please, bring in more food. Love this.
Dim sum. Anybody? Please dim sum.
Yeah. There's so many important like coming from the Mediterranean culture, I think you asked for that, that influence. The concept of hospitality is everywhere. One of the concepts, for instance, that I think a lot of people do not know about, let's say, the Arabic culture, and there are many cultures within the Arabic culture, but I was raised very close to that culture. My family is Jewish from, we're all Jewish from Tunisia, so we're very close to that culture. Is that, for instance, when you have guests in your house, you would never talk about a topic that can offend them, you know? And, like, it's just such a respectful and beautiful experience. And everything goes with that. Like, the experience of food, like, they will absolutely put out the best food for you, let you eat first, you choose your side of the plate, a piece of meat you want. And it's just... it's just a beautiful concept, you know? Like, and so there's actually a consultant that's really amazing. His name is Danny Mayer. He owns several restaurants in New York and also the chain that's called Shake Shack.
Oh.
You know this guy?
Yes.
So
yes.
He developed a whole segment of consulting that's how about bringing hospitality concepts to businesses and creating a virtual circle about that with your employees, with your suppliers, with your clients. Everything is about hospitality and understanding who they are and creating an experience that's worth coming back for.
Hospitality and kindness. Those two things, if we had more of in this world, would make such a huge difference. And speaking of our world, we are so grateful that you're in ours and that you got to come to the show today and share about your experiences and about your business, which I know people are going to want to find out about.
Yes, absolutely. So, Alex, if people want to follow you and your business, what are the best social media channels for them to do that?
So LinkedIn is probably where we're the most present, but also we're on Facebook. So pretty easy to find. I'm in build consulting and development. I'm on Instagram too, but I don't do a lot of business through Instagram. But I would say, yeah, Facebook, LinkedIn, or just Google it. Like, of course, we have a website and there's a form to contact us there.
Great. Well, thank you again to our guest, Alex, for sharing your perspective on how to refine your business strategies for success in our community. We had a blast getting to know you even better and look forward to seeing you around town soon for brunch on Sunday.
Yes.
In the Pacific Kitchen. Yeah. For more great information about local dining and for a conversation about all kinds of things happening in the city, join us on our Facebook group, Trending Spokane.